From KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters.
Okay, this is interview number two with Scott, Donna, and the noise in the background is two grandkids, and they're playing with an iPad. So anyway, we'll start the interview.
Ken Arnold and his wife Donna were babysitting their grandkids when they made this recording. They've been married for 29 years and both work at the nearby aerospace company. Donna does analytics during the day. Ken drives a forklift at night. Their schedules are completely opposite, but they're lucky to share the same hobby. Together, they run the Puget Sound Ghost Hunters. For the last 9 years, they've been conducting paranormal investigations all over Western Washington.
And the reason, though, it's not just for us, it's for you guys, too, because you may find out that this is not a good fit for you. You don't, because it isn't for everybody.
Right.
But since you have a lot of background in diverse people, I think that really gives you an edge, because, like I started to say, we...
The Puget Sound Ghost Hunters have seen some recent turnover, and Ken and Donna are interviewing new ghost hunters to join their team. They've narrowed it down to two applicants, two people who they think can investigate haunted houses with both rigor and compassion.
What other questions do you have for us? Because I know you have to leave.
I guess, I mean, what I'm looking for in terms of my own first involvement is... I want some consistency. I mean, there's a real interest. I don't tend to like to get into things and then just float around or, you know, if I'm going to do it, I want some depth to it, some
depth
to it, you know. And this is a pretty serious interest of mine at this point. I'd like it to become more than that. You know, right now it's just, cool on TV, but I really am intrigued with the technology. I'm really intrigued with sort of the spiritual side of it. So, I mean, if that's a fit, you know, I'd love to explore Port Gamble with you guys and see if it's a total fit. I mean, I understand that fit is important.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we should let him go. He's got to go and we can get some. Thank you so much. Great meeting you.
With Scott.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about
roses.
The podcast about
the unknown.
Donna and Ken tell me to meet them at 5:45 outside of a haunted mansion in Port Gamble, Washington. From Seattle, it takes just a 40-minute ferry ride and 30-minute drive to get there. Give or take 10 minutes if you decide to stop at the Taco Time in Paulsboro along the way. Port Gamble used to be a booming mill town. It had a big port and easy access to rich Pacific Northwest lumber. But times changed, and the mill closed, and all the town had left were all the gorgeous old colonial buildings that had been meticulously preserved over the years, including the Walker Ames Mansion. And like any good mansion, this one was supposedly haunted. Now the town is a picturesque tourist location where visitors can buy antiques or eat artisan gelato or commune with the dead. I get to the mansion early, but Ken and Donna are already there, sipping soda from giant Wendy's cups. Ken is anxious to get started, keeps looking down at the time on his phone. He has brown hair and a brown beard and is wearing a black hoodie with the Puget Sound Ghost Hunters logo on it. Donna is wearing the same hoodie. She has a kind face and blonde hair with big soft curls, and she uses a scooter to get around. Hey, what does this door say? Keep out.
Oh, we can't go there.
Oh, that's a
basement?
That's
the basement.
Not allowed?
We go down there.
Yeah, but it's not safe. Yeah. You go down there because it says not you. That's why you go. Oh, did you bring flashlights?
Yeah.
I need that cool.
So why is there a need now for new ghost hunters in your troop?
We've just had a couple of people that we let go. It just wasn't working out for us. It wasn't a good fit anymore. And then we had one move away.
A few people that... it seemed like they lost interest. They were just going through the motions and saying improper stuff in front of our clients. It made us look unprofessional. So I just decided to tell them bye-bye.
So, and we'd like to keep our group small. That's the other thing.
Yeah, there's other groups out there that has huge team members, and they have membership dues. And to me, they're losing the focus on what we do, and it's all about money. And I hate that. We don't get paid for what we do. We just enjoy it.
We do it because, like Ken said, we want to help people and try to work through their whatever they're going through. And half the time it isn't even paranormal, but they just have somebody to listen to so they know that they're not crazy, you know? So you feel like a counselor, and don't you have...
We wait for the two candidates in the poorly lit antique kitchen. The dim yellow walls are still covered in Christmas wrapping paper and cardboard decorations, and the rest of the house is dark. I assume the decorations are intended to bring life and modern holiday cheer to an old haunted mansion, but to me it just underscores how uninhabited the place is. Two wannabe ghost hunters are on their way to see if they'll be allowed to join the group.
So are both of them, have they made the cut or is it still a trial?
It's still a trial.
Yeah. What are, really quick while they're outside, what are some red flags that you're looking for?
I want to see if, how they react to red activity, flag. How they work together as a team or not.
If they don't seem interested, you know, I mean, like goofing off, not taking my suggestions and not listen to what I have to tell them, that's a red flag.
I know I have a...
That's
you need
my
to
phone.
Turn your phone off, yeah. Mister.
Hi. How are you? Good. How are you?
The first hopeful is a woman named Tanya Rout. She might be in her 40s, with long brown hair, and she looks like the kind of person who might be into bird watching or some other outdoor hobby.
What, for what you can tell, like, from the TV shows or, like, meeting Donna and Ken, like, what makes a good ghost hunter?
I have no clue. Honestly. I guess having an open mind. Open to whatever might come.
What do you think will make you a good ghost hunter?
I have an open mind, but I'm also skeptical. So, looking forward to seeing how many things I can rule out and how many things I can't.
Have you seen or felt ghosts before?
I see my grandfather in my hospital room and had a conversation with him after I died on the operating table. And growing up, I always was kind of into the supernatural. And so I thought, well, I don't know if it's all real on TV or not, but come and see what it's like. Just something fun to do and an activity and meet new people, see new things, and see what adventures I can come into.
Scott Harris also hopes to be allowed to join the team. He's a social worker, not yet middle-aged, wearing plaid and protective crystals on his wrists and around his neck.
I've been kind of interested in ghosts, if you will, on and off. The last couple of years, it's really kind of ramped up for me. So this will be, if they take me, this will be a nice, difference from the hard work that I do during the day.
Have you ever been a part of a group like this before?
No, not at all. This is my only sort of real ghost experience. I had a poster on my wall of Charlene Tilton. She was the hottie on Dallas, right? It was the only sort of sexy poster my mom would let me put up in my room, and it wasn't sexy at all. It was really just a headshot, you know, whatnot. And this poster, no matter where I put it, would fall off the wall. So I'd retake the putty off and put it back on, and it'd fall again. I'd move it, put new putty on it, fall again. So I'm like, well, either it's my mom, which I kind of doubt, or there's something in this room that doesn't like that poster. So I had this thought that it was maybe a female spirit that didn't like, I don't know, who knows. So, yeah, no, something, I don't know.
You hoping you see something tonight?
I'm hopeful, but I always try to go into any situation with an open mind or low expectations. I find that if I have low to no expectations, then whatever happens, great. And if nothing happens, then, well, you know, it was fun. So hopefully we'll send some energy and see what's in the room. And
Scott even brought his own laser thermometer in his pocket. I had him test it on my arm.
I'm open to that.
What's my temperature? Can you just shoot it on my arm?
You are 68.2.
Wow.
66.
Is that hot or is that cold?
Well, that's kind of cold.
What do you think makes a good ghost hunter?
I don't know. I'm not one yet. I would go with open mind.
If it gets picked up and thrown against the ceiling, that's a good
All right. ghost hunt. You have my permission.
No.
I want to see that.
No, don't say that.
All right, you don't have my permission.
That would be something we don't want to say. It could happen.
Yeah, okay, voice check. This is Ken.
Tanya.
Scott.
Donna.
Bethany.
Okay.
What's the voice check?
When the voice check, what it is while I'm listening to audio, so I'll know the voices before I start going over the audio.
We gather around the kitchen table as Ken unpacks his tools. Some I recognize, like a handheld recorder that's the same brand as the one I'm holding, only a better version of it. Other tools are things I've never seen before, with names like the Paranormal Puck 2.
Paranormal Puck 2.
And the Spirit Box SB-11.
It is the SB-11 Spirit Box.
What's your favorite tool?
One that vibrates. No, I'm just...
Sorry.
Ken shows us all a black box with an orange screen that reads the environment and translates spiritual energy into a robot voice. It's called the Ovilus.
You're probably wondering about Quitlin, and this is Ovilus. Ovilus works sort of like the Paranormal Puck 2. And what it does is it reads the environment. And looks like I gotta change batteries on it.
These tools will give us proof sometimes. I'm skeptical, like I think you mentioned. I believe, but I'm skeptical, so I need to be shown.
Everything is ready. Ken grabbed a tangle of equipment and Donna grabbed her cane.
We're gonna start up in the attic. And then we'll work all the way down the basement. The basement freaks me out.
So there's something. If you open that door and you're at all sensitive, you will feel it. I mean, I wouldn't go down there if I physically could. I wouldn't. There's no way.
Yeah. Well, I wonder why the sign on the door says keep out.
I know.
The growler's down there.
The two headed upstairs to the attic. The rest of us follow. Me with my recorder, Scott with his thermometer, and Tanya holding Boo Bear, a talking teddy bear designed to entice activity from child spirits.
It's definitely a lot colder up here, huh?
A lot colder. Okay.
Yeah, Scott, do you mind describing the room?
Well, we're in the attic. There's, you can see the timber joists, the brick fireplace that goes out to this, out the roof. It's cold, a lot of brickwork. Bare light bulb in the ceiling, a couple of windows. Not much else, wood floor.
Cool, you know. It's a pretty good size attic.
Yeah.
Everybody stand still, and we'll all start questioning. Can you make a sound to let us know you're here? What is your name? Can you see us? What did it say?
Roses.
Do you like roses? Mr. Ames, are you here with us?
Tom.
Is there a Tom with us?
Tom, you want to ask questions?
How old are you?
Is there more than one here? Or is there many that are here?
We're not here to hurt you. Scott, you want to say, ask some questions?
What was your favorite window to watch out? What is your fondest memory from looking out the window? Is there anybody in here with us?
Okay, let's stop here and let's go down on the second floor.
We continue to do more sessions throughout the house's three main floors. Scott points his thermometer around, looking for cold spots. The ovilus and the paranormal puck, too, both read words from the environment, but none that makes sense without liberal interpretation. The spirits seem to be mostly quiet tonight.
How are you feeling, Tanya?
Still skeptical, just kind of checking it out. Seeing what happens.
How about you, Scott? What are you thinking about all this?
I don't know. It takes me a while to process some things sometimes. So,
do you think you'd ever get scared on a ghost hunt?
I'd hope so. I don't know. Not much scares me.
Don't we all kind of hope that something scares us? At least makes us know that something's there.
Yeah.
Is that like what drew you to ghost hunting as well, is the prospect of maybe getting spooked?
That's the prospect of actually finding something, knowing that there's more out there.
Entering the basement through a door that has a sign that says keep out.
It doesn't apply though. You guys don't come up with 10 minutes, I'll call 911.
Our last stop for the night is in the basement. Ferns grow through cracks in the foundation, and a deflated happy birthday balloon is crumpled in one corner. The furnace runs constantly.
Can somebody come talk to me? Let me know that you're there? I would really like to know that somebody's actually there, that I'm not just getting random words on a screen. Can you give me a name?
Is that a salamander?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
In the dark, Tanya spots a brown salamander with her flashlight. She tells us she can't tell what kind of salamander it is, but her lizard-loving uncle, who passed away less than a year ago, would definitely know.
It's very interesting to see this one tonight.
Does it feel significant?
For me, yeah. It does.
Watch your head. Watch your head. Okay, let's head upstairs.
How long ago did your uncle pass?
He passed last May. And
this is a sign.
So to see that tonight, just kind of...
It's a sign. This is what happens.
In fact, I talked to his ashes before I left the house tonight, saying, watch over me tonight. Keep me safe.
And he is. That's what happens.
So, when will these two know if they're in the club?
Well, what do you guys think?
Well, I'm definitely interested.
Would you be interested?
Yes.
Both of you?
Definitely.
What do you think?
You guys want to be on the team?
I would love to.
We just, Don and I talked about it, and so you guys, you were basically joining the team before you got here. We just wanted to see how you guys were going
to
perform.
We wanted to make sure you wanted to join the team. Yeah. You know, you seemed like you were very interested in, you know, being here. So that was the first thing we noticed. So.
But this was really just a way to get away from the kids for a night.
In an instant, Tanya and Scott become colleagues. Tanya seems thrilled, still excited from finding the salamander and possibly connecting with her uncle from the other side. Scott seems excited too, making jokes about how his protective crystals must have worked because he didn't get attacked by any ghosts. I ask them if they think they'll work well together on the team, and they both say, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think as long as you have common interests and, you know, there's a lot of good communication, then, yeah, you know, I think you can work with anybody.
How about you, Tanya?
I'm looking forward to seeing what more adventures there are if we actually do come across something that's actually gonna make direct contact. Still open to the possibility that there might be some time when that happens.
Like, is part of your interest in doing this to kind of figure out for yourself if there is an afterlife?
That's a huge part of it. That if there is an afterlife, find a way to communicate with those that I have questions for, loved ones that I've lost. And just to know that if there is, then I have a way of communicating with my loved ones after I leave. So.
Puget Sound ghost hunters leave the haunted mansion, all four of them. The group discusses dates of upcoming hunts and shirt sizes so that Tanya and Scott can get their own hoodies. It's late now. We're tired. Everyone's driven an hour or more to get here. Tanya tells me she's going home to research salamanders, to identify the one we saw in the basement. Scott tells me he hopes his kids are in bed by the time he gets home. Donna and Ken tell me they're both night owls, that they've got vodka, pineapple juice, and a DVR full of ghost adventures waiting for them at home. I'm the last to leave, relying on my phone to navigate my way out of Port Gamble. It's dark and chilly, the dense ferns and moss-heavy cedars leaning low to the country road as I drive. The air is filled with a light fog, so I lower my headlights. And I wonder if, when I get home and start digging through this audio, if I'll find anything that will make the Puget Sound ghost hunters smile.
In the weeks since the trial investigation, Tanya and Scott have continued to assimilate to the group. 2 weeks after joining the group, Tanya captured what Ken called a Class A EVP while at a client's home. I've actually got a clip of this EVP, and I'll play it for you now. Tanya and Ken hear a man's voice saying, "Go home or get out." I don't really know what to make of it.
Did you just tell me to go home?
You know, my stomach was growling. Maybe that's what you heard.
To learn more about the Puget Sound Ghost Hunters, check out their website at psghosthunters.com. They offer investigations to residential homes free of charge, but they say that their schedule is pretty backed up into spring. On our website, hbmpodcast.com, you can see pictures of some of the equipment that Ken brought on our ghost hunt. And we also have a few photos from previous ghost hunts at the Walker Ames House in Port Gamble. Again, find us at hbmpodcast.com. This episode was produced by me, Bethany Denton, and was edited by Jeff Emtman. Our editor at KCRW, Nick White, isn't a ghost, but does convey most of his edits through ghoulish howling noises. Music on this episode from The Black Spot and Phantom Fauna. In fact, right now you're hearing some music from Phantom Fauna, from their soon-to-be-released sophomore album. We'll let you know when it's out. Here Be Monsters is part of the Independent Producer Project from KCRW. Thanks for listening. We'll have more episodes soon.